you wish to follow it along, turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I'm going to read as my text the first 10 verses. Romans 6 and verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, mark this now, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and that is with Christ.
Yes.
Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Amen. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him.
Amen.
Look at this last phrase here. Now, this is not the last of what Paul says by any stretch, but look at this last phrase. For in that he died, Christ, not us.
Yes.
For in that he died unto sin once.
Amen.
But in that he liveth unto God.
Amen.
Last week, I believe it was last week, I asked three questions. I will not get to answer all three of those questions this morning, possibly two of those questions. But here is the first question I gave you, and I gave them in line with what Paul deals with here in this chapter 6, we might say. Who then is dead to sin? Notice Paul starts, and what we see is chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? But here's another question. How is it that we can be dead to sin?
Exactly.
So then, who is dead to sin? The actual answer is Christ died to sin.
Amen.
That's the answer. The only people that can be dead to sin are those that died in him.
Amen.
The fact is, as this letter bears out, and it will soon bear out, the very context of chapter 6 lets us know we still have the existence of sin in us.
That's right.
We still have the presence of sin in us and around us. We can still have the ill effects and influences of sin upon us and in us. And this is such a heavy weight that in an upcoming chapter, even the Apostle Paul will write these words, even while he's being moved by the Spirit of God, but I should say especially being moved by the Spirit of God, O wretched man that I am. Being dead to sin is not the same thing as being dead in trespasses and in sins.
Exactly.
So again, I ask the question, who then is dead to sin? Jesus Christ is dead to sin. First of all, look at it. Christ died. He died. Verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death.
Amen.
There's the important death.
Mm-hmm.
There's the vital death. Do you see it? Verse 5. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, do you see it? Of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. And then the crescendo of this is again verse 9 and 10. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more.
Amen.
Dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him, for in that he died unto sin once. There's my only hope of me being dead to sin.
Amen.
For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Paul has not left the subject of salvation and then begins to deal with service in chapter 6. Years ago when I was in false religion, it called itself Christianity, but it was not Christianity by any stretch of the imagination. They would talk about the person and work of Christ in chapter 5, especially the latter verses of chapter 5. Now, granted, they perverted the truth of the person and work that is detailed in chapter 5. But remember, what does Paul establish without question in chapter 5? Jesus Christ is a people's substitute.
Yes, sir.
Jesus Christ is a representative of a people.
Amen.
And everyone that he stood as substitute for, and everyone he represented, and I might add, still represents, by the way, but everyone he represented, they are saved.
Amen.
What I was taught was now Paul's left that subject and is going on to service. He is going to talk about service. There is no doubt. But you cannot, we dare not separate our service from the sacrificial representation of Jesus Christ on Calvary's tree.
Amen.
When we do, we're forced to then lie about ourselves and start talking about how good we think we now are now that God saved us.
You're right.
Isn't that what religion does? Say, I used to be this. I used to be that. And that is true in a sense. Paul said, I used to be a blasphemer. That's not the way he lived any longer. Okay? But it's still his flesh.
Exactly.
His flesh hadn't gotten any better. If it did, why do we need to fight against it?
Exactly.
Why do we need to not serve it? If the flesh is getting better, we should at least serve the part that's gotten better.
Exactly.
Correct?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be logical deduction? But that's not what Paul's not talking about. Now that we're saved, all of a sudden sin doesn't bother us anymore. If you live in that world, you live in a la-la land of false religion and deception.
You're right.
Paul has not left salvation and now dealing with service, as some say. And herein is the danger when some begin to preach or teach, and I don't even know what the real difference between those two things is, so don't ask me what the difference is. After 37 years of preaching, I still don't know the difference if I'm preaching here or teaching here. I hope I'm doing both all the time. Here's the problem. When some people start talking about preaching or teaching from the word verse for verse.
Yeah.
And then you start in verse 6 and you say, well, Paul starts with us. Right? Well, he does in what we have is chapter 6, verse 1 and 2.
Yeah.
But he's just introducing us into the equation now. He continues to talk about what Jesus Christ did when he died on that tree and when he was raised from the dead. He's still talking about substitution and representation.
Amen.
He hasn't left salvation for service. He is speaking of service in light of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So that's why you got to see the chapters and verses are there for convenience only. Convenience only. All right, here's another thing. Paul Steele. Even in now dealing with our service to God. And you can't read chapter 6 with any honesty whatsoever and not realize he's talking about our service to God. And serving God and not the flesh.
Yeah.
Serving God, even righteousness, and not sin. It's right there. But remember the key word that I mentioned to you last week. Yield.
Yes.
Yield. Yield. Now I know what the Greek says. It means to offer up.
Yeah.
To offer up. That's the literal meaning of the word in the Greek, is to offer up. But the fact that it's translated yield is because the translators understood we are not giving something God, giving something to God that He needs. We are to yield, to bow the right of way, to yield to submit to His will and refuse our will.
Yes, sir.
This smacks the doctrine of free will clearly in the face and puts it in the dust. Paul, yes, is beginning now to talk about our service to God. And he introduces service based upon substitution and representation. Again, for if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death. How many times did He die? Once.
Amen.
Once. We shall also be in the likeness of this resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. It's done.
Yeah.
The deal is done. As many have said before, the difference between the true gospel and the false gospel is just two letters. The false gospel says do, D-O, do, do, do. Don't live in sin. Get right with God. Give your heart to the Lord. Right? Serve Him. Quit sinning. If you do sin, confess it real quick. Right. Let me just drop that for a moment. The gospel is D-O-N-E.
Amen.
Done. And that's the only thing that encourages me to serve God rather than to serve myself.
You're right.
This is why religionists have such a hard time. Why coming to services, why doing the things of God becomes such a burden to them. Why? Because they are doing, doing, doing. And our doing, I don't care how deceived you are, your doing is never really enough.
That's right.
Your conscience will bear you that witness unless your conscience has been seared with a hot iron.
Exactly.
Those dead to sin are dead to sin in their substitute. That's where it's at, folks. They're dead to sin in their substitute. They are dead to sin in their representative. Now, I was so taught from probably the earliest age. I wasn't like Jay Wimberly. I didn't have my little booties in the Sunday school room, the Wimberly baby. He said they actually didn't even know if it was a boy or a girl yet. Back then, he didn't know it. Already before he's even born, when he's in the womb, had the Wimberly baby had little booties up in the Sunday school room. Well, I didn't have that. But I'm sure I was taken to Sunday school at the earliest age. And all I ever remember hearing was do, do, do. It's easy to be saved.
Yeah.
The difficult part is serving the Lord. It's not difficult if God Almighty's raised you from the dead.
Amen.
It's not difficult. The flesh and battling the flesh is difficult. Not serving the flesh is the tough part.
Yes.
Serving God is a joy.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And that, and I'm not talking about resting upon experience. I'm talking about resting upon Christ. But all of us had to have had an initial experience of conversion or you're not saved. Mm-hmm. You don't just grow into this and start believing this and kind of go from dead in sins to alive in Christ and everything just kind of continues on. It don't happen that way.
No, you're right.
You will be confronted by the Master Himself in His gospel, or He has never confronted you.
Exactly.
So again, I say, those dead to sin are dead to sin in their substitute and representative. This is primary. This is the fountain. This is the foundation truth to being dead to sin. Now here was the second question. What does dead to sin mean?
Yeah.
Remember I asked that question. Yeah. What does dead to sin mean? Let me give you three things. And I'll deal mostly, most of what I have to say will be the third one. But I want to try to move along. What does it mean to be dead to sin? What does religion say? Sin don't bother me like it used to.
Yeah.
Folks, sin bothers me more now that God saved me than it ever did before He saved me.
Amen.
Before God saved me, sin didn't bother me. I was bothered when I got caught. I was bothered when I got in trouble. I was bothered when my peers, those my age, thought I was being weird if I tried to do something that was right. I have a problem. I have a problem with sin because God saved me.
Amen.
Before He saved me, sin was natural to me.
Exactly.
It's just who I was and what I did. So what does dead to sin mean? It is having our old man crucified in our substitute.
Amen.
Now if you want to look at the old man, Paul mentions the old man again. In his letter to the church at Ephesus, in Ephesians 4:22, I'm not going to read them, and also in Colossians 3:5-9, still talking about the old man. The old man. The old man is a goner. He is corrupt according to deceitful lust.
Yes, sir.
And he still exists today.
Exactly.
But in spite of me having to say it that way, that old man was crucified with Christ when Christ died on that tree. Jack, I don't have to explain it. I just need to believe it.
There you go.
You understand what I'm saying? Religion refuses to accept it because they can't wrap their puny little minds around it. We bow to the truth. Oh, wretched man, that in my flesh still dwells what? No good thing.
Amen.
And I have trouble with sin after God saved me.
Yeah.
That's when my trouble with sin started. It is having the old man crucified. And what does it say? Knowing this. Just know it. Just know it. Not because you've seen it. Not because you've got empirical evidence. The book says so.
Yeah.
Believe the book. That's all you got.
Yeah.
That's all you're ever going to get. It's just the book. Even when the rich man who realized, it's too late, I'm a goner, but I got five brothers. Lord, call some great miracle to come along. Somebody to raise from the dead. And go tell them not to come to this place. You know what Father Abraham said? They got this book.
That's right.
Let them hear them. And that's all God gives us.
That's it.
So much so that Peter said that experience that he, James, and John had in that mount, seeing Christ transfigured, he said, this here is a more sure word of prophecy than any kind of experience like that.
Exactly.
You know what he says? We have a more sure word of prophecy. It's this inspired book.
Amen.
Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him.
Amen.
With Him. That the body of sin might be destroyed.
Yes.
Now, is it destroyed in you? No. It ain't destroyed in you. It was destroyed in Him.
Amen.
Do you see it? On that tree, religion, this kind of path, they don't understand this language.
Yeah.
Why? Because they pervert substitution and representation.
Exactly.
And they think Jesus did it for everybody, but not everybody goes to heaven, so it ain't really what Jesus did. There has to be something that goes with that.
That's exactly it.
And they are being logical in their deductions.
Yeah.
But they are dead wrong.
Exactly.
Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. And one day we'll know the reality of that.
Yes, sir. That's right.
One day we'll know that when we lay down this coil of dust, this frame here, this body that it has within it, that old man will be freed.
Amen.
Literally. Actually, physically, freed from sin.
Yes, sir.
But we're freed in Christ.
Amen.
Don't you care? We're already freed, Jack, in Christ. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, sin.
Mm-hmm.
My only hope is that I'm dead with Christ.
Exactly.
Now, if we be dead with Christ, well, Christ died for everybody. No, He didn't. If He did, everybody would be converted.
That's right.
For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of the Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life.
Amen.
Not only that, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement.
Amen.
This thing of universal substitution and universal representation is a lie straight from hell.
You're right.
Because Jesus Christ prays for everyone that he died for. And Joe, did we just hear him say, I don't pray for the world?
Amen.
There you go. It is having our old man crucified in our substitute. Here's a, what does it mean to be dead to sin? Two, it is having life. Life in Christ. Verse 8. Now, if we be dead with him, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God.
Amen.
Let me move on. It is having identified and submitted to, yielded to Jesus Christ by our public yielding to his command. It is manifested, it's outwardly manifested when we went into the water of baptism.
That's right.
Baptism is yielding to God's will, not your own.
Yes, sir.
Let's think about even the natural aspect of it. You are yielding your body and your life to another individual to put you into a place that you cannot survive for long. And basically, trusting them to bring you back up out of that. Right?
Yeah.
Hmm? Be a good place for a serial killer to be. Oh, wait a minute. Ain't that what preachers are anyway? Some of them are. Yeah, they may not murder men's bodies, but they murder men's souls.
There you go.
But it is public identification with Christ. You cannot be a secret believer. Cannot be us. Even the thief on the cross, his faith showed up on him, didn't it?
Sure, did.
And he tells another fella, even when he was first casting the same aspersions in his teeth, something happened. I know what happened. God Almighty laid hold of that man.
Yes, sir.
And he identified himself with Jesus Christ. He couldn't go into the water. But I'll tell you nonetheless, he had a spirit-wrought identification with Christ.
Amen.
He rebuked his own sin and his buddy's sin.
Yeah.
And he said, this man has done nothing amiss.
Amen.
How did he know that? It had to be the Spirit of God told him that.
Amen.
He said, Lord, remember me. When you come into your kingdom, he knew he was the king.
That's right.
And he knew he needed him to remember him. Yeah. It had nothing to do. He was dying for his sins. Right there, wasn't it? And I'd be more appropriate, he was dying because of his sins. And our Lord said these words to him, today. Today. I can't imagine what that was like for that man. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Let me tell you, if Jesus Christ ain't in paradise, paradise will not be paradise. Because Jesus Christ is my only hope. I get it. It's being identified with Christ by our publicly yielding to his command. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Note the actual wording.
Yeah.
Don't be like the Campbellite, the Church of Christ, just because he hears the word baptized, he's elated because he loves baptism.
Yeah.
Hmm? But don't be like the First Baptist or the First Presbyterian that's so scared of water baptism that they try to make this out to be spirit baptism.
Yeah.
Right. Spirit ain't mentioned there. And anybody who reads that with any honesty knows, dead, raised.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Spirit baptism ain't dead and raised, it's raised.
Amen.
It's raised, that's all it is. You already dead when it comes to spirit baptism. The Spirit has to raise you up. But let me read it. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as. That lets spirit baptism ain't a like as. It is. It is a is. Physical baptism, identification with Christ, submission to his command is a like as. And Peter actually calls it that in one of his epistles. Does he not? The like figure.
Amen.
It is the answer, or that is a response of a good conscience toward God. What's a good conscience? One that's bowed down to the will of God.
Amen.
Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, do you see it? We shall also in the likeness of His resurrection. Briefly, notice He doesn't say, and I'm not going to try to argue about it, He doesn't say, baptized to get in Christ. He says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the union in a public confession.
Yes.
That is the union in a public identification with Christ. And you don't ever, you can't baptize yourself.
No, that's right.
That's called swimming.
Exactly.
It ain't baptism.
That's right.
It's swimming.
Yeah.
Now, let's get this. I know you're somebody, I'm glad you're laughing, but
that's true.
You know, if baptism is it, why don't you just baptize yourself? You can do it backwards, frontwards, however you're supposed to really do it. No, you have someone baptize you.
Exactly.
So it's not baptized to get in Christ, nor is it baptized to be in Christ. No, no, no. In and into are two different words.
True.
Secondly, note, notice not all who were baptized are baptized into. Because there's a lot of people been baptized, they ain't been baptized into anything.
Right.
At best, a false profession.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At worst, maybe a deception from which they will never recover.
Right.
See, it's not just get people baptized. This is a willing, loving submission and identification with Jesus Christ, and He gave the command, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And that's where we first make our first public confession.
Yes, sir.
Because you've got to at least have one other person around that's a believer to be truly baptized.
Yeah.
If you had a heretic baptize you, you ain't never been disidentified with Christ.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. If you've been baptized and have nothing to do with being converted by the gospel, you ain't never been baptized like Paul's talking about here.
Yeah.
Somebody says, baptism important? If Christ commanded it, it is vital.
Yeah.
Because if I refuse to yield to it, what does that mean? I am serving sin and not God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I made a statement like that years ago, and I was told I was a Calvinistic Campbellite. Jeez, can't win for losing. True baptism is a submissive confession. It is a yielding response. And it is a like as or as likeness of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. It is a Spirit-wrought baptism, but it's not Spirit baptism. Two different things. Two different things. Now, I realize we could delve into these words. We could look at the Greek, you know. I fell in love with the Greek language one time, and I know a little bit about what Paul meant when he, or not Paul, but John meant, when Christ told him to write to the church of Ephesus, you left your first love. My love was toward Greek and not Christ. And thank God he renewed that love for Christ. You don't have to know a lick of Greek for God to save you. And you don't have to know a lick of Greek after God saves you. But you got to know Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You got to know Jesus Christ. It is a Spirit-wrought baptism, but it is not Spirit baptism. I'm not here to try to defend anything or anybody. What does Paul say here?
Exactly.
4. Being dead to sin is dying in our substitute. It is dying in our representative. That's what it means to be dead to sin.
Amen.
Here it is. Walking in newness of life. Not walking a life of newness.
Yeah.
A drunk that's went to AA and got over his drunkenness is walking a life of newness. We're talking about walking in newness of life. Now, does God really give life or does He not? Or is that just words to us? Is it just a doctrine? Is it something ethereal? No, it's real. It is not serving sin. But it doesn't say not sinning. It says not serving sin. Even when you do it, you hate yourself for it. Why don't you? And if you don't, you're in trouble. If you don't, you're in trouble. It is death. What kind of death? It has to be spiritual death. Physical death still has a hold even on God's people. Look at us. How many of God's people have been here before? They're gone. They're in the grave. Are they not?
Yes, sir.
Death has no more dominion. It's there, but it don't have dominion. The old man is nothing but death. The new man is absolute life.
Yes.
Absolute life. Fourth, it is again yielding. Yielding not to the flesh, but to God. Not to unrighteousness, but to righteousness. Not to self, but to the substitute. Last question. How do we not live in sin? You've got to come back next week if you want to hear that one. Father, I pray that you teach us these things. God, we're so prone to look to ourselves. So prone to look to our experience or experiences. So prone to look to some kind of growth. And Lord, we do know that we grow. But Lord, help us never to look to those things. Help us to all, force us, God, to look to Christ. In His name, amen.